Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So far, the reading of God's Word. You remember from last week in verses 18 to 21 that the prohibition, the negative command, do not be drunk with wine, was followed by, that's the putting off, and then the positive command, but be filled with the Spirit. And so now in the next section, up until he comes back to how we are battling against spiritual forces in the present darkness, and you remember he said earlier, we were darkness, but now we are light, and he is talking about how to walk as children of light. Well, we walk as children of light by being filled with the Spirit. So what's the Spirit called? Life look like? Where is the spiritual war waged? And so we'll find that it's waged in marriage and parenting and in the workplace. Wives and husbands, children, and parents, employees, servants, and masters. So every day, ordinary life is the battleground as we seek to walk as children of light and do the opposite of what the devil wants as we fight the spiritual war against the demonic realm. How you do that is, if you're a wife, by being a godly wife. How you do that is, if you're a husband, by being a godly husband. If you're a child, how do you think? By being godly children. So that when you obey and honor your parents, you're fighting spiritual battle. And this is what we need to be filled with the Spirit for. You say, I have a hard time. I want to obey, or I don't want to lie. But I keep disobeying, or I keep lying. You say, yes. Because you are fighting also against your own flesh. But you must not fight in your own strength. Be filled with the Spirit. This is why it's not surprising that when we come to what wives are supposed to do in the three verses before us this afternoon, it describes something that many, many wives in the churches say, well, that's impossible. And rather than say, but it is what God says, and he has given me his Spirit, who applies to me Christ, so that I can do it and bring glory to my Father of light, walking as a child of light. Instead of saying that, many of the women in the churches say, that's impossible, and I hate it. And anybody who teaches it plainly, so we will reinterpret and explain it to mean the opposite of what it says. And we'll take vows about it out of our wedding ceremonies. And if someone explains this passage in a wedding, we'll have him explain that it means the opposite of what it says. And all sorts of rubbish like that. But we must not do so. Because if this is a spiritual war, and if it's walking as children of wrath or children of the devil, or whether we're going to walk like that or walking as children of God and children of light, then there is actually very much at stake in getting this correct. So, in this letter, the Spirit-filled life starts with the Spirit-filled wife. So much rests upon you ladies in God's design. He originally designed you to be fruitful and multiply, for you to be a helper and encouragement. The only thing that was not good in the first 6 days of creation was resolved by your creation in order to complete the creation of mankind. You are to be the helpers of your husband and the nurturers of your children. And now that we are sinners, being redeemed by grace, you are to be the helpers of your husband, and also especially in grace, and the nurturers of your children, and also especially in grace. And so the Spirit-filled life starts with the Spirit-filled life. Godly, cheerful, and diligent in her obedience and her submission. Now, the scripture summarizes this word, this godly obedience, this cheerful obedience, this diligent obedience, in the one word, submission. The whole of the wife's relation to her husband is summarized. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Some will say, well, submission isn't the only thing that wives do. That's right, it's not the only thing that wives do. But it is the one word that when the apostle by the Spirit was going to summarize the wife's role in the marriage, that he chooses to use. And so it is a good, comprehensive summary. Now, that's very countercultural, and not just in post-feminism secular America. It's very countercultural in the church, because the fleshly desire to control the husband is the same as sin's desire to control Cain. It came from the fall. Remember when God was telling Eve the consequences of her sin? He says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. You say, see, headship is from the fall. Well, it's from the fall, then why is it commanded here? But it's not from the fall. Because if you go another few verses in Genesis, you have God talking to Cain. He uses the exact same language to talk to Cain about sin. Sin's desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Now, did sin want to have a nice, happy, affectionate time with Cain? No, it desired to control him, just like the desire of a wife to control her husband is from the fall. And when he said, but you must rule over it, was he telling Cain that he should have headship and firmly and lovingly lead his sin? No, he was saying you must dominate it, crush it, don't allow it to be itself. And so that's what happened in the fall. So when he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, what's he saying? He's saying, wives, conduct yourself in your marriage in a way that is opposite what came into the world through the fall. Don't let the devil enjoy the fruit of his tempting Eve to fall into sin so that she would want to control her husband. You kill that desire to control your husband. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit filling you, you joyously, joyfully submit to your husband when you get married. Now, good thing you start out as children, because as we'll hear in a couple of weeks, you get a lot of practice as children submitting to your parents. And it should be godly, and it should be cheerful, and it should be diligent. So that those 50% of children or so who grow up to be wives, and not every girl gets married, but the children who grow up to be wives, they will have had practice. And the submission is going to be a little bit different than when you were a child, because it is submission to a husband. Okay, so submitting to the Lord Jesus is also countercultural. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, people will never go for this. You can't teach this kind of thing. It just irritates them and offends them. Well, the same ones that it irritates and offends are irritated and offended by the command to submit to the Lord Jesus. That you're not your own. That you have a master. And your goal, that you are to live for his goals, for your life, and according to his rules, having pleasure in the things that please him, and finding your purpose in him, and the purpose that he has assigned to you. And so when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, that's, Lord, it helps us a little bit. Because we say, well, it may not be popular with the world, and it may go against the fleshly desire of remaining sin within me. But so, the exact same thing can be said about submission to Jesus. And so the apostle says here in verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay, so don't give in to people who try to do away with submission in marriage. This submission means obedience. Titus 2:5, older women are to teach the younger women to obey their husbands. It means obedience. It means yielding to instruction. It means yielding to direction. If you're going to submit to your husband as you submit to the Lord, you can't take away the idea of obedience and following his direction, or else you'll take those things away from your submission to the Lord. They are of similar kind, but they're not only of similar kind. The submission of the wife to her husband is part of her submission to the Lord. Now, that's helpful, because that means that if your husband wants you to do something that the Lord doesn't want you to do, what do you have to do? You have to do what the Lord says. Because it's submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It's part of your submission to him. It also means that when your submission to your husband is difficult, because he may be difficult, when you look at 1 Peter 2 and 3, the last part of 1 Peter 2 and the first part of 1 Peter 3, he says, submitting to a husband who is disobedient to the word is so hard that the pattern for it is Christ being submitting himself to the suffering of crucifixion. Okay, so it can be very painful and very hard. But if you submit to your husband as unto the Lord, then you remember that the Lord is worthy and the Lord is able. So wives, submit to your husband, young husbands, as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay? So your husband is not worthy in and of himself to be submitted to. And your husband is not able to make you or enable you. He doesn't have the ability to enable you to submit to him. But Jesus is worthy of your submitting to your husband, and Jesus is capable, is powerful to enable you to submit to your husband. So your submission really is to Christ and is a response to him and his salvation, in dependence upon him and his power. Your submission is part of your submission to Christ. But it's a godly submission. It's part of your walk with the Lord when you become a wife. It's not just, you know, following a particular design because that's the way it is. It's something that you're offering to him in dependence upon him. So in the first place, it is godly submission. In the second place, it's also cheerful submission. If you are doing it as a response to the Lord, if it's submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, and it reminds you that Christ is the head of the church, and that Christ is the Savior of the body, it's really pulling in those images from Psalm 45. And the joy that you have in belonging to the Lord Jesus, and the joy that you have in having an opportunity to respond to the Lord Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. And this is love, that we keep his commandments and we don't find them burdensome. And so, not only is it part of your godliness, but it must be cheerful. You must not consider your submission burdensome. When you find submission hard, it's not because the submission itself is a burden. It may be because the circumstance, your husband, is a burden. The Lord does give us burdens that he carries us through and carries us in. But the duty to submit is not a burden. The resistance in our heart is a burden. remaining sin is a burden. We want to get rid of that. But in this is love, that if we love him, we keep his commandments, and they're not burdens. So the wife's submission should be godly as part of her walk with the Lord. It should be cheerful, something that she loves to do for him. And it should be diligent. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, verse 24, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, the obvious thing about the word everything is it doesn't leave anything out. Okay, so just as we are submitted to Christ in everything, which means what? Am I submitted to Christ in how I eat? Absolutely. When I eat as someone who has been bought by the blood of Jesus, and it affects how I eat. I never do anything in which, or never go anywhere whereat I am not someone who belongs to Jesus. Once the husband and wife get married, once the man and the woman get married, become husband and wife, become one flesh. You ladies, when you get married, then for the rest of your earthly life together, as long as you both shall live, in everything you do, you are his wife. And whatever does him good, whatever serves him well, whatever his leadership of you is, and his desires and preferences, all of those things, you're always factoring those things in. You always want to reflect well upon him wherever you go. Because you're never just your own person anymore. You're still an individual. But you're an individual who's a wife. And so you defer and consider what brings him honor in everything you do, wherever you go. Wives are subject to their husbands in everything. You notice, if you're looking at verse 24 in your New King James, the word let and be are inserted there. But it's therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so wives to their own husbands in everything. It's a fact of how God has designed marriage, not just an instruction. We need to be filled with the Spirit to live the kind of ordinary life that we're going to be hearing at the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6. When you hear about this design for marriage and design for Christian marriage, you think, that's very different than what the world thinks. It's very different than what my flesh wants. And I can't get my heart to feel and live like that and say, right, you can't. But God the Holy Spirit can. That's why it's part of the Spirit-filled life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, pray for my wife and my daughters. We pray, Lord, for the other ladies and girls that we know, that you would grant to them to be filled with your Spirit, so that they may love Christ and not find his commandments burdensome, love to obey his commands, and love to be his subjects. And so we pray that if they are married, when they come to be married, that you will have been growing them in this walk with him that is godly and cheerful and diligent, so that when they come to be married, they can be godly in their submission to their husbands, be cheerful in their submission to their husbands, and be diligent in their submission to their husbands. We pray, Lord, that you would help us not to be ashamed of you or your word, but to rejoice in your goodness to us, to depend upon you by faith, and that you would indeed fill us with your Spirit for all of the different parts of our living as those who belong to you, which we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Blue 45B.